Now, today, we are in the middle of a series that I want to bring to your attention because I think it's very critical and important that we understand that life will cause you stress. Anybody been stressed before? Anybody ever spell stress with a K? Stressed? That's when it's real bad. And sometimes in life, you go through things that are too heavy for you. And you almost feel like you're at that one point where if you move to the left or the right, you might snap.
Come on now.
Now, I know I go through that, but I don't know about y'all. Y'all Christian good, y'all strong, y'all got it together. But I can tell you there are some people out here who when life hits them, it hurts. Hello, somebody. So our desire today in this series, we're going to be talking about how to thrive in the game of life. How to thrive at the game of life. Thriving is not just simply surviving. Thriving is the ability to move beyond just simply the achievement of another day. How many remember back in the day, there was a commercial that this guy would wake up on the edge of his bed and said, oh, got to make the donuts. How many remember that one, right? And how many felt like that? You got to get up and you got to go to work. You go, oh, got to make the donuts. Anybody ever felt like that before?
Yeah.
Well, we are not normal like others. We have something different as a believer. We are not soulish, but we have a spirit. And that spirit is something that God gives us at the day that we come to him. And so when we have that spirit man has to be nourished. It has to be comforted. It must be refilled so that we can bear what we go through.
Amen.
There's a scripture in Proverbs that says that the spirit of a man bears his infirmity, but a crushed spirit, who can bear?
Come on now.
Man, when you are down and your spirit's crushed, man, you might stub your toe and think the world's going to end. But when your spirit is strong, when you have the ability to say, man, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't care what it looks like. I feel good. I know that just went that way, but God is still on my side. You can bear anything when your spirit man is strong. Somebody say amen. I want to bring to your attention a passage of scripture. The passage of scripture is about a yoke. If you have pen and paper, write that down. A yoke, Y-O-K-E, a yoke. Now, this is very important because as we talk about the game of life, you see we have chess pieces. We'll get to that in the next, and we got some other things coming that we want to show you as far as the game of life. But here's the thing about a yoke. A yoke, most people know, is a bar that would go over two animals. And they would, in the Old Testament, literally, it would say that when you yoke, it had to be the same type of animal. You couldn't mix two types of animals. You couldn't mix an ox with a donkey. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
That's why when you are yoked with somebody, it says, be not unequally yoked. Why? Because if I'm a cow or oxen that's used to going forward, donkeys like to sit down. Hello, somebody. We ain't going nowhere. Hello, somebody. So being yoked with somebody is this concept that I have what I can't do by myself. If I'm yoked with someone else, the load becomes easier. We're moving in the same direction. I can carry a burden further than I could by myself. When I am yoked with someone else, we become a team. And now we serve one another. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And when you serve one another, you're saying, listen, I'm going to bear part of your load. You bear part of my load, and we're going to make it together. You can plow. Come on. You're going to be able to plow together. What does it mean to plow? That means to break up the fallow ground in your life, those things that are hard in your life. When you've got somebody yoked to you, it's easier to get through those hard spaces in life. Not only that, but when you get through, you can get to your destination with someone that has the same mind as you. That's why he gave the example, don't put two mixed animals together back in Deuteronomy, because there was a principle coming. And I want to show you that principle. It's going to be found in this book, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. I want to show you something before we get into the story, because Darrell's a storyteller. I mean, in a good way. Now, Dad, God shows him visions and things, and I want him to share his story. But before he does, I want to read something to you, if we could. Matthew chapter 11. And do we have it on the screen? Matthew 11, verse 27. If you have it, I want you to go there, please. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. And I'm going to start off with this concept that Jesus said. All power in heaven has been given to me. He starts the entire verse off with the truth. All power has been given to me of my Father. That means he has everything you need to make it. Everything you're going to desire, everything you need help with, he is the one that has it available for you. This is critical. Then we go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And could you read it for me while they put it on the screen for me back here? Hold on a second. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's a burden on you. My question to you today is, what is your burden? What is it that you're thinking, feeling, experiencing, you're going through? It may seem nothing compared to other people's issues, but it's everything to you. What is your burden? What is the burden on your life at this moment? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. There is something that I think every believer needs to capture, and it's this. There is an opposite to this text, that we can either go to him and get our burdens relieved, or we cannot go to him and the weight of the burden crushes us. Oh my God. Have you ever got to a point in your life where you don't like church, you don't like God, you think he's against you, and people won't admit this, but they blame him. Even though he can't do anything wrong, he is perfect. We still say, you wouldn't let this happen to me if you were perfect. And so we begin to fight God, or we fight other Christians, because either we are under a heavy burden, a heavy load, and we just don't want to be bothered by anybody. And when we get to that point, we begin to withdraw ourselves out of our community of believers. We begin to withdraw ourselves on our jobs and in our homes and from our mates and the ones that we love. We withdraw ourselves because we're carrying something we were never meant to carry alone. And every believer has to capture this, because you were never meant to carry what you're carrying alone. You have somebody that wants to help you get through. It's a truth. I want to show you something. He says, I will give you rest. You know, the key here is the word rest. That word rest means is the same word that they talked about that Sabbath day, that man, that cool, no work. I want a life where life, things just fall down in front of me so that I can just keep walking. That every opportunity, the door just opens for me. I don't have to struggle as hard as I have been trying to make it on my own. I want you to read this next verse, verse 29. And I want you to read it out loud. Ready? Go. Stop. Two commands we were given. Take and learn. Say it with me. Take and learn. Say it with me. Now, I'm going to, anybody got a dollar? Anybody got $20?
Are you giving it back?
Anybody got a $100 bill? No, I'll take a dollar. Take a dollar. Got a dollar? What you got? Okay. Okay. You gave me a dollar. Dog. I took his dollar. Amen. Y'all missed that. Watch this. Somebody come take that dollar. Woo! Woo! Not too late. No fighting in church. Now watch it. Now stop right there. You stop. She moved. She saw her move and moved. He wanted to move. He went, I thought he was dancing. I don't know what he was doing. There's a difference between wanting to take, because at the end of the day, the thing of value goes with her. When he says, first thing, take, you can have a seat, I'll give you a dollar back. Okay, take my yoke upon you. That's what the word says. Take it. You must come get it. It's ready there waiting for you. You don't have to struggle by yourself. There's provision for you. Come and. Come on, come and. Come and. You must grab it. You must grab hold of it. Don't let no. Hey, that girl should have knocked her down and taken that dollar. That would have been awesome, though. That would have been. Oh, I'm so sorry. But you got to take what you want. And sometimes you got to take your peace back. You got to take your joy back. Your provisions back. You don't have to suffer the way you're suffering. This is not meant for you. Today, I'm here to give you a deliverance message. You can have what God made for you. Take it. Take it. Take it. It's got your name on it. You don't have to worry about crowding the stage. There's a dollar for everybody. Hello, some. Take it. And he says this, learn. It's the other verb, learn. This ain't hard. Learn of me. Not your job, not the problem. Don't turn your face to the issue. Turn your face to him. When you don't know what to do, learn of him. Do you understand? There is instruction of him all the time. You may not know how to handle this, but you know how to address this. If I don't know what to do, I'll just open up the Bible and I'll read wherever it is. I'm going to soak it in until I get it all. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of his righteousness and what? All these things. What are all these things? My marriage is a mess. She still can't cook. All these things. My marriage is a mess. He still won't pick up them drawers. All the brothers are like, yeah. Yeah, I know what that one was. All these things. I can't get a job. I can't get finance. I can't know you, God. I feel like I'm away from you. I don't know what to do next. Here's what he says. Two verbs. Take, learn of me. And let me tell you why. Because I'm meek and lowly in heart. In other words, I submit as a servant to somebody higher than me. And my heart isn't proud. And when you come to me and learn of me, you are guaranteed a result. What is that result? Ye shall find rest unto It is the soul of a man that bears his infirmity, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? The only way we can come to health is to understand that in this game of life, we were never meant to just exist. We are meant to thrive. And the only way we can thrive is that we've got to come back to him and spend time with him. Amen. Even with all your burdens, it's not, that's not the time to back up. It is the time to come forward. It is when you feel like not coming to church. It's the day you ought to have been there. Amen. I don't know about you. I remember days I said, man, I don't feel like going to church. And I wouldn't go that day. And then then everybody said, man, church was crazy. Man, they were healing and miracles. I'm like, oh. And then I come to church and it's boring. I'm like, dog, where's all that stuff? Then I go home. I'm not going today. And it happens again. What is God trying to train me? Go to church no matter how I feel.
Amen.
And the day it feels the worst is the day you need to be there.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
So today, Darrell, you and I, we had a chance to talk. And I want you to share what you saw. He's one of our prophets and seers in our church. And he had a vision that I thought was so profound. And it deals with the game of life. And funny enough, Connect Four, right? Y'all see that Connect Four back there? I know y'all want to. I know you want to play it. I know you do. I've been waiting to play it all day. Okay, here we go. So, Darrell, tell me one of the things. How did the vision start off? Tell us what you saw.
Well, I said like how it started off was that he first gave me like a great expectation.
Okay.
And I'm sitting up here waiting on it. Like, okay, is it now? Is it now? Is it now? And it's like, no, it's not now.
So you just had a feeling like something was coming.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't know where it was coming from.
Exactly.
And you're waiting on it.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
And then, I was just waiting and waiting. I mean, I got to the point where I got upset. I mean, I'm just like, man, it should have been here already. I mean, I'm just waiting. And then I'm just like, okay, God, all I know is that whenever you say you coming, you coming. Mm. You might not give me an actual time. You know what I'm saying? Like a UPS driver, he'll give you a time or an expected delivery.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
I mean, you be waiting on that time, but he didn't give me a time. All he said was basically, I'm coming. I got a mess. I got something for you.
Okay.
So I'm just like, okay, I don't know when it is. I'm just going to keep listening and I'm going to keep watching.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know what it is, but you still got to keep listening and you got to keep watching. Go ahead.
So then I'm just like I said, I'm still waiting and watching, waiting and watching, waiting and watching, still listening. I'm like, God, I'm listening. I don't care if you just have something, just a conversation to tell me, or you want to show me something. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, God, I'm waiting on it.
Right.
So I'm just waiting. And then I was just like, man, I'm just, well, it's taking a long time.
You were waiting.
Yes, sir. I'm waiting. But at the same time, I'm not finna allow my wait to discourage me from, like, keep just pointing, keeping my face to him.
Yes.
So I'm just like, okay. Then all of a sudden, it was like, it's like a moment of come. It's like a, imagine like how you could put a pot of boiling water on the stove. When it get heated up to a certain point, the water just boils over.
Yes.
So it was just like, it was like, now the moment is here. So I'm like, oh man, what is it? Then all of a sudden, I end up looking, and it was like this park. Like, you had trees around it, and all I saw was a table, and Jesus was sitting at the table.
Like where I'm sitting and where
yeah,
you're sitting.
Exactly.
Like a table.
But the thing about it was that I was a distance off, and I'm walking up, and I just see Jesus just sitting at the table, and he got like a super smile on his face. And it wasn't like he was just disappointed. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just like that. And he was like so excited to see me. And like I said, he was sitting there, and all I seen was a chair just sitting there waiting for me. And I'm just like, oh, okay. All right. So I walk up and I notice that the chair is not just for me. Because sometimes you can see something where it's like it'd be just for you, but he'll let me know that it wasn't just for me, but it's for everybody.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, okay.
So there was a place at the table.
Yes, sir.
For everybody.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I sit down, And then I just look in his face. You know, he's just smiling. Like, he's just so happy to see me and everything. Just like that. And all of a sudden, it's like, but on the table, it wasn't just a blank table. He had a Connect Four game sitting on the table.
I know this sounds crazy, but look how God just does crazy stuff, doesn't he? He had a Connect Four sitting on the table.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that.
With pieces.
Hold on, I'm getting the pieces. I'm going to give you these pieces.
Okay.
I'm still going to beat you. All right. So Jesus is smiling through the holes.
Yes, sir.
And he's going, come on to the table.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
So we just sitting there playing, you know, just dropping pieces. And he just, you know, I could just drop a piece. And as I'm sitting up here dropping pieces, it's like a situation was like, I'm trying to think if the table's right here, then the situation was back here.
Your problem was happening back there.
Yes, sir.
Go.
It's like however you want to label it, it was just situations and problems and everything that life has to offer you. But the thing about it, the situation was up doing jumping jacks, trying to get my attention. So I'm sitting up here.
So hold on, I need somebody to do jumping jacks for me. I need a jumping jack. All right, come on over here, jumping jack. Come on, both of y'all. Both of y'all be my jumping jacks over here. You, okay. Y'all, now, this is his problems. Come up on the stage. Now, I'm Jesus. That's him, and those are his problems. Go ahead and do y'all jumping jack. Go.
And I'm noticing, like, okay, I see him playing Connect Four, and I'm just like, so I look back, and I'm just like, and my problems are telling me, hey, Darrell, you need to stop doing what you're doing and come handle this problem, because this is very important. I mean, like, probably life and death situations. And I'm thinking, man, that's like, should I go get up to handle these situations? But then I'm just thinking, like, man, let me just find out what Jesus want to do. Because, like, you know, it would be crazy for me not to ask him, for me to just assume that I need to go do this. So I just was like, okay, let me just, like, Lord, like, what should I do?
Now, I'm looking at you, and I don't look concerned, do I?
No. He don't. It's like he don't even care about these situations.
Y'all keep
jumping jacks. I'm just like, I mean, and the situations were still jumping. And I'm just like, wow. It's like, I'm asking him, like, Lord, hey, what should I do? And he just, exactly like that. He ain't even said nothing. His focus is on this game. And his focus is on fellowship. So I'm just sitting up here like, okay, well, if he not looking at this situation, maybe that's the thing I need to be doing. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to just, I know he ain't never wrong. No matter how I may think my natural mind, he's never wrong. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to do the same. I'm going to just follow his lead. So as I keep dropping, next thing I know, I see a servant come up. But he has on two uniforms. It's like he is a butler on the inside, but he has like a dishwashing white robe on, like an apron.
Y'all out of shape. See, now watch this. Jesus knows trouble don't last always. Y'all can go sit down.
Saw was, like I said, it was a servant, but he had on two uniforms. He had he was like a royal butler, but he had on like this apron that like a dishwasher at Denny's would have on so that he don't get his uniform wet. He only put it on whenever he washing dishes, and I'm just sitting up here just like, what?
And Jesus is here, the servant's here. and he looks like he's sharp,
right?
But he has the robe on like he's ready to serve.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here confused about it. I'm just like, why is it that I don't never see nobody with two uniforms on? It doesn't make sense. You can have like a real costly uniform on, but then have on like something else on top of it, and it'll take the prestige away from the uniform on the bottom. And I'm just like, why is it that he has on two uniforms?
So wait a minute. You mean he had on the inside uniform was the royalty?
Yes, sir.
But on the outside was a servant?
Yes, sir.
And it didn't take nothing from the royalty
no.
to put on the servant?
Exactly. And I'm sitting up here just looking at it like, this doesn't make sense. I was like, I mean, I know that like with me, with my natural mind at first, I'm like, man, I would not put on that white apron, because it's going to take away from my prestigious uniform. Yeah. I'm just like, but I was like, God, that doesn't make any sense. And then, like, just like Bishop Elay said, the reason why the servant can have on the two uniforms, because Jesus had that same mind in him. Mm. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. But at the same time, he fashioned himself as a man to die the death on the cross. Mm. And he was obedient to that death.
Now, let me ask you this. What was I wearing at the table?
You was just wearing Jesus was wearing just a regular white robe. He ain't had no sash. He ain't had no crown on his head. But the thing about it is that every time I ever seen Jesus, he never had on a royalty robe. He never had on crowns, because it was just like, because I know that that's him. I know to regard him as the King of Kings. He doesn't have to appear to me as the King of Kings, but I know that that's him.
Hold on, y'all hear that? He doesn't have to appear as the King of Kings to be the King of Kings. He came in swaddling clothes.
Yes, sir.
And was the Son of God. Died as a thief, but then rose with all power and sat at the right hand of God. Don't ever get caught up on the outside of a man. Go ahead.
So after that, I'm just sitting up here just like, man, that's crazy. But once I saw that was his mindset, it wasn't nothing for him to take on that same mindset. Because it was like...
And what did he do for me?
At first, he didn't move. He was just standing right there. So it was like, I'm just looking at him. He didn't move. And then I noticed he only moved when he said something. Mm. It wasn't that I couldn't just order this servant, this butler, to do anything of my bidding. I couldn't make him do nothing. He only followed his word. Mm.
And Wait a minute. That's good. See, you can't get God to move on your opinion. God will move on his word. That's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn. Because your freedom and your deliverance doesn't come from what you pray because you want something. It comes from what he says he will give you. And if you can pray his word, his servant will move for you. Go ahead.
So after that, so I'm just like, man, he just won't move because I would want him to move. He only moved by his word. And even inside of everything that was being said, I never saw Jesus' mouth move. I'm sitting up here just looking, and all of a sudden you'll hear the Father speak. And it's almost like it just dropped down like rain. It was just, and then come through him. And then it's like the servant will get the message. And then, like I said, as I'm focusing on this game.
Wait a minute now. And as the servant got the message, what did he do?
Then he would move and go deal with the jumping jack situations. So.
Well, wait a minute now. I need a butler. Come on up here, butler. Everybody say, hey, Jeeves.
Hey, Jeeves.
Now, he's representing the Holy Ghost. I need a jumping jack. Now, the Bible says that I only do the things the Father tells me to do. That's what Jesus says. And he says, when I send the Holy Ghost to you, he will only say those things which I have told him. So the Father tells me, go handle that jumping jack. So I look at the Holy Ghost, and he knows, go handle the jumping jack. and I don't have to take my eyes. And he, now that wasn't my problem as the Lord. That was his problem. But as long as he kept his, come on, as long as he played the game with me, he didn't have to play the game with them. He focused on me, and I handled his problems, and I never took my eyes off of him. Let me fast forward. Now, Connect Four is a fun game.
Yes, sir.
But why are you playing Connect Four with Jesus?
God strategically be doing stuff, even though we may not see it at the time. Like how Minister Brian was singing the song this morning, Abba Father, just as Bishop Elect had said, Abba is three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But like some people behind me could see, I already connected the three already. But inside of the game of Connect Four, you don't connect three, you connect four. Mm. So you don't win when three is connected, because Father, Son, Holy Ghost gonna always be connected.
Mm.
And
finish the thought. Finish that thought.
And the thing about the game, like I said, it's not like tic-tac-toe where you connect three in a row. But Connect Four is you connect four. And like I said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the fourth one would be me.
Mm.
And once I connect that fourth one, then I win.
Woo! Stop right there. Do y'all see that? In order to thrive in the game of life, you can't connect three. You got to connect four. That means he ain't going to move. God ain't going nowhere. But if you can come and take it, if you can become that fourth piece, then he can flow through the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and then solve your problem. Because without you, he can't win. But with you, all things are possible. Hello, somebody. Now, as we get ready to close, I want to ask you a question. Who's going to be the fourth man in the fire?
My God.
I need a fourth piece. Willing to work with God. Willing to go to God. Willing to say, God, you can have it. I'll come to you. I'm not going to struggle. I'm not going to look at those jumping jacks behind my life. They're just trying to distract me. But if, Lord, I come to you, I know you can handle everything behind me. And I don't have to take my eyes off of you. I don't have to worry about whether you're going to deal with it. All things will come as I seek your face. You are carrying too much right now. Church, you're carrying too much. Why carry it? All it's set to do is to burn you down, slow you down, and make you in such a state you're so tired that nothing makes you happy anymore. It's not your husband's problem. It's not your wife's problem. It's not your worker's problem. It's not the election. It's not your church. It's not your pastor. It's you. You got to go to him, because he didn't ask you to waste your energy on the jumping jacks. Sit down. Rest. Sit like I sit. Unhurried and unworried. And I will give you rest to your soul. If you close your eyes for a minute, bow your heads.